Welcome to Words of Grace Audio, where we clarify, amplify, and apply issues raised in the Sunday sermons at Grace Community Church. From time to time, other topics are addressed. We hope these podcasts help you press the Word of God into your everyday life.
Good morning, Scott. How you doing?
Good morning, Jeff. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Good. We're here for Words of Grace Audio on January 13th.
Yes.
And we just launched into a brand new book.
That's
and
right.
Now, have you ever, you haven't preached through 1 Corinthians, have
not
you?
Not through it, no. Okay. Not from beginning to end.
Yeah, yeah.
So out of it several times.
Sure.
But not through it.
Yeah. So this is a new study for Grace Community Church. And it's coming at a time that, well, I mean, give me some of your thoughts. Like, why did you choose 1 Corinthians for this time in the life of the church?
Oh, a lot of reasons.
Okay.
I think probably because 1 Corinthians is a book that is about the church. The letters of the New Testament, the epistles, not all of them, some of them are individual letters, but but many of them are written to churches. This one in particular is about the church, and it's about church problems, but as we said, about church promises. And so I just felt like that because of the growth of Grace Community Church and and then also just as time goes on in the evangelical community and in churches in the community, in the Christian community, very, very often you need to come back and start to say, okay, how do we function as a congregation and what do we do about certain issues? And you have to lay that, you have to build that culture in regularly. And so for various reasons related to that, I felt like now's probably a good time. And really also the elders of Grace, we talked about it and they were encouraging me to go ahead and tackle this book and, and put it before us to just make sure, as I said, that we are continually shaping the culture around to be a church that pursues purity, God's holiness, restoration of people in love, these kinds of things that sometimes can cause us to have to do a lot of work, relational work, and a lot of repenting and relational and people-building work, so that we can really be a church that reflects God's character. And so the elders and all that together, we just said, okay, you know what? I think it's time to do 1 Corinthians.
Right.
And I'm gonna throw you under the bus here a bit.
Okay, go for it.
So the folks will know that. So last week, you, Jeff, were we were back and forthing about the worship service, and you had read 1 Corinthians beginning to end, and you text me and said, wow. And then, are you sure you want to do this?
Because it's just, it's tough.
Yeah.
And there's so much in there that I'm like, man, on the first read through, I don't understand it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm looking at it, I'm going, man, I gotta dig into this and figure this out because it's complicated.
It is.
And there's a lot of messiness in the midst of, you know, the Corinthians and what they're dealing with.
Yeah. So what you've raised there, and I know we're going to get on to some questions here, but while we're at it, I'll just go ahead and say that what you've raised there is a real issue, is that people read 1 Corinthians, and there are so many problems in this church related to divisions in the church, so relationships between people in the church, related to sexual immorality, related to marriages and divorce, related to worship services. There's so many real issues, and trying to be thoughtful and trying to be to represent the character of God and to represent Christ and to be biblical in all these issues takes a lot of work. And it takes a lot of repentance, and it takes a lot of conforming of mind and behavior to the pattern of the gospel. And because of that, we just ignore them. We ignore these issues. We just try to, we take them as they come and do the best we can do and then try to forget about them and move on because we just don't have a lot of spiritual patience and endurance to really work through these
issues.
Yeah,
and so rather than work through them, we do the things that you talked about on Sunday.
Yeah, that's a good segue.
We gossip about it.
Yeah.
We don't talk about it. We state our strong opinion, or we completely ignore it.
Yeah.
Or we just up and leave.
Yeah.
So, is you know, you said don't do these things, and then we'll get to what we want to do later, but is there any time in the life of a church where we need, where you need to do any of these things, yeah, or some form of them.
Sure. Yes. Yes. And so this is a good time to, as we like to do in this podcast, to kind of clarify.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, I opened up with just a word that said, usually when there's a problem in a church, or someone does something wrong, we have one of four responses, or maybe a combination. We talk about it in a gossipy way.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, well, does that mean for fear of gossip that we never talk about it? No, we should talk about it.
Right.
And sometimes you have to say something. And saying something helpful and something that is designed to give a warning and to call back and to restore is not gossipy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good thing. So yeah, sometimes you do have to talk about it. Another thing we said was sometimes people just ignore it. It's messy and they don't want to deal with it and they just ignore it. Well, do we ever not talk? Yeah, sometimes rather than ignoring, you just realize, well, this is not the kind of issue that needs to be spoken into.
Mm-hmm.
It may be a second or a third level issue that doesn't threaten the life of the church or even necessarily the health of the believer. It might be a weakness that someone has that they know about. We don't need to keep harping on it. So it's not ignoring it. It's just knowing when to be patient and when to be tolerant and not to press in. So not ignoring, but and then the other one I think I said was one option is to be kind of take a self-righteous stance,
the strong opinion.
And what I mean by there is it's you're not taking a stand for the sake of bringing truth back to the congregation and restoring people. It's a I'm against you and I'm going to stay against you. You're bad, I'm good. And it's this sort of fixed self-righteous stance that doesn't move toward people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but is there ever a time to take a stance? And the answer is absolutely. Mm. Sometimes you have to put both feet down and say, this is the truth. This is where we got to stand and we can't budge. And but it's not in a judgmental way. It's in a convictional way that's designed to protect the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think the fourth one was to leave.
Right.
I said sometimes people rather than gossip or ignore or be self-righteous, they just walk out the door
because
they don't want to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of shake the dust off or just would rather go on somewhere else. So the question then is there ever a time to leave a congregation that's full of problems? And the answer would be yes.
Mm-hmm.
There are times that it would be appropriate to walk out the door.
Right.
Hopefully, though, that's after some real attempt has been made to call upon people to repent or call upon leadership to deal with issues that really warrant being dealt with. In other words, they're overt sinful practices false teaching that's threatening the very heart and soul of the congregation. And so sometimes that doesn't happen and you just got to go. And there are other reasons to leave churches. I'm not saying you never leave a church, but sometimes the
but
hard
about
work,
these kinds of issues.
That's right. People. Sometimes the hard work is not, people just aren't willing to do it or can't do it. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So why is this so important? You know, Paul in the first 10, well, I guess it's 9 verses really.
Mm-hmm.
He sets a stage for what he's going to say by reminding them who they are, by giving them the gospel again, reminding them that God has called them. So why is it so important for us to have that kind of a foundation before we tackle these issues?
Yeah. I think because if you try to correct or if you try to call to a new way of thinking and living without the foundation, they don't respond well because they don't understand the greater context. They don't understand, I should say, the whys behind it.
Okay.
So laying foundations that Paul, like Paul did in 1 Corinthians 1, gives you the why.
Mm-hmm.
So we focus on the what. So like, don't be sexually immoral.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Paul in 1 Corinthians also tells you why. Here's one.
Mm-hmm.
Your body doesn't belong to you. It has been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross, and you have the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's all of you, not just your soul, your mind, or your spirit, but your body.
Yeah.
And so that's the why.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get the why, then you start to get the what.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have the why changes your total outlook on your body.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my body is redeemed by Jesus. the instruments of my body are to be presented as righteousness. I just went to Romans 6 there.
Mm-hmm.
But this body will be resurrected, changed, yes, transformed, yes, but resurrected.
Mm-hmm.
It belongs to Jesus. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. So I'm a different me. I'm not just the same old me that can throw his body around in any kind of immoral way I choose.
Sure.
That's the why. So that's okay. What Paul does when he opens. He says, look, folks, you are called. You're the church in Corinth, and you are called by God.
Mm-hmm.
You're sanctified. You've been cleansed of this awful, sinful self and all of its deeds that flow from it. You've been cleansed, sanctified, set apart. You're a special possession of God now.
Mm-hmm.
And you're to be holy. You're to be saints. Walk as saints. You're to be together as the church. And so you're a new you, and you're a new people. And then he goes on to say, so that's one foundation, their calling.
Mm-hmm.
Then the other foundation is their foundation of that they've been recipients of God's grace,
right.
Which is the calling. But right. Then also he says, you've got these great spiritual gifts that are being used for God's glory. And
right.
And the grace of God's going to sustain you all the way to the end. And mm-hmm. So he's reminding them, you really are Christians and you really are the church. So with that foundation, then he can launch into this whole thing about not having divisions among you and mm-hmm. cliques and, you know, the sexual sins, the disorderly right. worship, the
yeah,
lawsuits,
I mean,
all that. Yeah,
it's similar to what John was saying last week, where you don't go through life and have an issue and then look for something in the Bible that speaks to it.
Yeah.
It's almost, you read, and then when life comes at you, such as it is in the Corinthian church,
yeah.
then you already have those things
yeah.
that you can use to apply, you know,
yeah.
because you've been reading, because it's in there.
Yeah.
And you just find
yeah.
what God has already taught you
yeah.
to deal with that. And so I think what Paul is doing here is the same sort of thing. He's just reminding them of what they already know.
Mm-hmm.
This is where you are. And then here, let's look at these
and
issues.
Here's the
in
kind
light
of lifestyle,
of
the kind of church life that yep. flows out of what God has done for you in
right.
the grace of God. So I think the reason it's important to lay the foundations, as Paul did, is so that we will understand not only what we are to do and not do, but why.
Mm-hmm.
And the, mm-hmm. And it's all because of what God has done for us in Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I like the way Paul, throughout 1 Corinthians, will continue to do that. So he won't just like
okay.
hit the foundation here at the beginning and then move on for, you know, another 15 and a half chapters.
Right.
He will hit the foundation at the beginning, and then throughout you'll hear him say things like, don't you know?
Yeah.
You know, don't you know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit?
The why comes back
yeah.
in.
Yeah, keeps coming back
he's
in.
He's addressing the what's, the issues.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I just think that's helpful for us to think about our lives
yeah. And I know that you encouraged everybody with your words of grace last week to read through 1 Corinthians, and I would say the same. You know, just
yeah.
read through it this week before we come back next week. If mm-hmm. you have a chance to do that, it'll
yeah.
be helpful to kind of have it all in front of you before we start.
Yeah, and as John Cramp said last Sunday,
mm-hmm.
you it's okay to read it at a pretty fast pace.
Mm-hmm.
You don't. We're going to go through slowly.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think, oh, I don't have time to read 16 chapters this week because it's going to take, well, it might not take you as long as you think. Just read it for the feel and for
yep.
the flow and the general, and then that will help you get oriented as we work our way through.
Right. All right. Thanks,
Jeff.
Now my best.